Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Pull Up Podcast, brought to you by HoopsCritic.com.
Good evening, everybody. We are back with another episode of NBA Unplugged. I am your host for the Tuesday nights or Thursday nights or whatever other nights that aren't Mondays. I am Jacob Noble, part of the Hoops Critic family. Thanks for Brian Gelzeiler for having all of us on here. You've probably noticed that Josh Eberle has not done an episode in a few weeks. I believe he did one last night, but we have been busy. It's the summer. We're enjoying ourselves. We're getting some beach. We're vacationing. It's all good. So we are back tonight, and we have a very special guest tonight. Our good friends over at Project Spurs, and I've been doing podcasts with these guys for a long time. They were at the original podcast I was doing with the Pro Basketball Podcast. They were also on NBA Unplugged, and now they are back on here at the new podcast called the Pull Up Podcast, brought to you by HoopsCritic.com, and none other than Steven Anderson is joining us tonight. How are you, Steven?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
We are fantastic. Got some beautiful weather. Like I said, it's summertime. Not much to gripe about. It's the off season. It's slow. Steven is a staff writer for Project Spurs. You can follow him on Twitter, as you should. It's on the website, but if you're listening and you're like, oh, crap, I have a pen, I got to write this down, here's what you want to write down. At Anderson Steve M. That's how you follow him. He knows all things Spurs, all things Texas, and all things NBA. So we're going to have a good episode today. We're going to talk about the Spurs offseason. We're going to run through some items that are going on around the league. We're going to have our new segment that I've been bringing out, the breaking news segment. We got a whole bunch of good stuff going on. So let's start off with the San Antonio Spurs, because they, I feel like, they won the offseason. But before we get into winning the offseason, I want to talk a little bit about something that I don't know if people are pointing out. I know it was kind of pointed out during the playoffs when this happened, and I feel like it got swept under the rug, although I want to bring it back to life, because I feel like it got swept under the rug because the playoffs were so fun, and it happened in the first round. You know, everyone knows they lost in the first round to the Clippers in Game 7. But what I want to talk about, Steve, is the after parties that took place at the Spurs, because this is such a it was not normal. Like, this is a team that, you know, doesn't say anything to the media. They're quote unquote boring. They don't bring the TV ratings. They just win basketball games, but they don't do it in an exciting way. It's not Kobe Bryant. It's not LeBron James. It's just good basketball. But they went out and partied hard in LA after Game 7 loss. And I don't know if it was, you know, Duncan's off-court issues. If you haven't followed along, he's going through a divorce. You know, there were some rumors out there that I don't want to get into because they're just rumors. You know, Tony Parker had his deal. You know, it's just, I feel like it was a way for this team to let off some steam. So, Steve, let me ask you, was that uncharacteristic, the way the Spurs handled the offseason, or do you feel like it was kind of long overdue?
Well, I mean, first of all, let me just say I love your Boston accent. But
hey, most people do.
No, but for me, I was really surprised whenever I woke up the next morning, and I'm like, all right, let's see what's going on. I didn't really want to check the internet after a loss like the Spurs had, but I did. And I see that. I see Aaron Baines out of a bar. I'm like, all right, well, that's new. And I read up on it. It's surprising. I mean, it was surprising for me, but also a little bit maybe long overdue also, because, I mean, you know, the way they lost, and you lose a last second like that, Game 7, your season's on the line, basically. You lose like that. I mean, I probably would want to party too myself. So, I mean,
right.
You know, it was very uncharacteristic. And, you know, as you said, they are labeled boring. They're not very exciting. But let me just say, that first-round series with the Clippers was probably the most exciting series of the playoffs.
Right. Right. No, I mean, I'm not going to deny that. I mean, we all were glued. I believe it was the only first-round series that went seven games, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we're deep in the summer here. We're in August 6th, and God forbid, I don't remember every series that ever happened. But no, I agree with you. To me, that was exciting. It was, you know, it was the new team versus the old team. But to give the Spurs a little credit here, and they don't need my credit. They don't need your credit. They don't need anybody's credit. They have enough credit. Having said that, it's not easy going to two finals in a row. And, you know, I'll sit here and praise LeBron James to go to five in a row. I'm not even going to talk about that ungodly record he's got going. But and he might make a six in a row. Who knows? But, you know, you go two in a row, you lose one, you win one, you come back the next year, you're kind of resting your players throughout the season, you finish with a sixth seed. You go against a young team who has not won anything. They're very desperate. So to me, it was a breath of fresh air, the fact that they did that. And I'm sure you have your stories in the sports teams you follow. Every fan, anybody who listens to this podcast, you're a fan of a team. And I will tell you right now, I remember the 2008 Celtics title more than anything in the world. That's the only professional sports team that I like that won a title. I'm not a Patriots fan. Not a Bruins fan, not a Red Sox fan. The Celtics are the only team that I was a fan growing up with, living in this region. But I remember the 2010 more. Don't remember the game. I remember being very upset. I don't remember how it lost. I remember it was just a struggle near the end. But that's how you remember it. So I don't blame you, Stephen, for not waking up and looking at the highlights or looking at the box score, you know, making sure it was a dream or reality. But for me, it was a breath of fresh air, and it was much needed. At the Spurs went out, partied, showed their humane side, and it was great. It was great. And they needed it. You know, they really did, and I think that's only going to help them this upcoming season. What else was going to help them is getting some good players, which they did. They got LaMarcus Aldridge, who accepted a second interview with the Lakers, which I don't know why. I mean, why would you want to go to L.A.? But, hey, the money's there. It's L.A. What do I know? I've never been to San Antonio. I can't tell you, but I can – just know from looking at players or hearing players speak, they want to be in L.A. They want to be in New York. Big markets. Fortunately for the Spurs, you don't need big markets. And you got a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, who I believe is 30, maybe 31, if I'm not mistaken. He's in that range. He wants to win. And he realized he's not winning in Portland. God, I mean, God forbid, that team went from third seed to not make the playoffs in 2-3 years. He's not winning in L.A. Too many young players and Kobe's. But he can win in San Antonio. So tell me the mindset, like, if you, Stephen, are pitching sales for the Spurs, if you're trying to convince me to become a Spur fan, you're trying to convince any free agent to become a Spur, is it easy? Is it hard? Like, do you have to go around the extracurricular activities that happen? And I know LaMarcus is a Texas guy, you know, went to University of Texas. He's from that area, although it's a big goddamn state. But is it easy selling it, or do you think, like, the way the modern NBA is gone, it's make it easier for those smart market teams?
I think it just depends on the player themselves, to be quite honest. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge from the beginning made it known, hey, you know, I want to go back to Texas. I want to go be closer to my family. I want a chance to win, as you said. He wasn't winning in Portland, and it was obvious. And as you said, Lakers, yeah, that was like not even going to happen. But, I mean, it was very, very obvious he was going to pick either Spurs, Dallas, and for a surprise, or Phoenix was actually close in the running, which I'm not really sure why. But, I mean, if I'm pitching a team to you, this is what I would do. I would basically come in, bring the rings, and walk out. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. No, but what I really would do is that I would just come in and say, hey, you know what? Let me show you what we got going on here. You know our history. We've been in the playoffs every year for I think it's 15 seasons. We have a shot to win it almost every year. You know, so we have it. We're always in that mix. You coming here could help us, and if you decide not to come here, that's fine too. But I mean, he wanted to win a title so bad, and I believe the Spurs do give him that best fit. And also, not only is he going to be with probably the greatest power forward to ever play the game in Tim Duncan, you have a up-and-coming star in Kawhi Leonard, who is very young, and he's only getting better. And he will be the future of the Spurs with LaMarcus Aldridge now. And, I mean, how could you not want to be coached by Greg Popovich, five-time champion, play with Duncan, Parker, Ginobili, you know, and have a chance to win a title? And the Spurs have a very, very good chance to win a title. Now, don't get me wrong and say, hey, you know what, let's automatically make them champions right now. No, you know, let them play some games first. But as of right now, I like their chances.
Hey, I mean, to me, they already won the title. I mean, you got the team, you won the title, right? So this is like the 2004 Lakers, right? They already won the title. But no, seriously, in all honesty, and I actually wrote about this in my new piece on hoopscritic.com, here's a little shameless plug for everybody out there. I did the best contracts per team, and I think in my description about that, I explained that the Spurs might be the only team in NBA history, if you almost think about it, who was able to switch from superstar to superstar and build a dynasty on dynasty. Now, the Lakers did it differently. You know, they had that spell where they weren't really good until Kobe became something. They signed Shaq. But they've done it homegrown. You know, they drafted Duncan. They drafted Kawhi Leonard. I can't think of another franchise who was able to sustain, you know, if Kawhi becomes well, he is what we think he is, but if he's able to bring somewhat the success that Tim Duncan was able to bring, you're going to have 30 years of a franchise that's not lost under 50 games, been in the playoffs every year, contended for a title every year, although, you know, you might say they're not going to win it this year, but they're at least contending for a title every year. That's almost unheard of, especially in the game of basketball, which we've found out the hard way. You know, if you're a fan of any team that's not won a title, and there's, you know, 15 of those teams that have not won a title, if you're a fan of that team, you know how hard it is to win a title, let alone have a dynasty. And here we are, the Spurs on the verge of having two dynasties in a row. But I want to go back to free agency for a minute, because my favorite thing of this free agency was Greg Popovich trolling everybody with the comment that I'm not staying up till midnight to make a phone call. And we all laugh, haha, that's Poppy and Pop. You know, he's, quote-unquote, the Bill Belichick of basketball, although we should say Bill Belichick's the Greg Popovich of football. But none of us thought about it for a minute. Wait a minute. Yeah, he's not staying up till midnight. He's having dinner at 9 p.m. West Coast time with Marcus Rogers. Of course he's going to bed before midnight. You know, dinner only lasts a couple hours. He's probably back at his hotel by 11, sleep by 11:30. And we're sitting here thinking that he's going to bed and not making any calls. But it wasn't like that. And that's just another, you know, feather in the cap for Popovich for being so damn clever and smart. But no, you got to envy that. But let me ask you this question. Because LaMarcus was the big free agent that was talked about. The other big free agent who is chasing that ring, played with Chris Paul down in New Orleans. He decided to take the Pacers over the Celtics when he became a free agent, because he felt they had a better chance to win. And in fairness, he was almost right. I mean, neither team won, but he at least got to play in the Eastern Conference Finals with the Pacers that, you know, prior to Paul George getting hurt and all that good stuff. And they took the Heat to seven games. But now he's picking another team. That's David West going to San Antonio. What do you envision David West's role with that team?
You know, I've always liked David West, even when he was with Indiana, when he was with New Orleans. I mean, I've always liked his game. He's always been the type of guy where I was like, all right, you know, I still remember when the Spurs played the Hornets in the playoffs a couple of years back, and that guy would not miss. I'm like, all right, somebody needs to guard him or something. That guy's not missing anything. Of course, he's a little bit older now, but I like it. I like the addition. I really do. The Spurs lost. We always know Marco Bellinelli is gone to Sacramento. We lost a lot of key players, but we also needed to make those moves to get LaMarcus Aldridge, as we know. Once we got back was David West. I like the signing because the guy's not going to put up no 20, 30 points a game. But what he's going to do is he's going to make the Spurs a little more dangerous, not only in the paint, but from the outside. He can still hit that outside shot. Now he's not as accurate on it as he used to be, but he can still hit it from time to time, and that's key. That's key because we know LaMarcus Aldridge can hit that outside shot very accurately, as we saw last year in Portland, and I'm pretty sure that's not going to change when he comes to San Antonio. That frees up Duncan in the post. That frees up Dia also as well. You know, that's very key. And also, if they're hitting from the outside, the Spurs can attack inside. If they're doubling Duncan or LaMarcus in the post, you can pass it out to the outside. It just makes them more dangerous. And if you have a guy like David West who can hit that timely jump from time to time, that's a very, very big key for the Spurs.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with you, and don't go anywhere.
Sure, it's great to have you back on board, Mark.
It's great to be back.
Hey, my old notebook.
Let me see that.
You don't want to look at that. That's boring.
It's draft notes.
Well, let me get it.
No. Curry. Too short, too slow.
Did I say that? I wouldn't call
with
you
with luck,
that.
Maybe a career in Turkey?
You know, Turkey's pretty competitive right now.
ESPN, your NBA destination for games Wednesdays and Fridays.
Tune it up, KD.
That sounds good like this.
Don't mess this up.
That's in there. Let's go.
Dunk that. Please tell me the camera was on.
Special edition Christmas Day uniforms now available.
And we're back with our very special guest, Steven Anderson, discussing some NBA news, enjoying the offseason, having some fun. And we have a few questions to come up here. The first question, which might be interesting, is I wanted to discuss something that was posted on Reddit. And if you don't go to Reddit and look at the NBA subreddit, you're missing out. There's a great community over there. I browse it daily. It's a really, really good community. But we were discussing on there, and I put some comments on there as well. But what was the worst trade in your recent memory? And, Steven, I'll ask you, off the top of your head, when you hear that, what is the worst trade that first comes to your mind?
Oh, I love this question. Has to be the Dallas Mavericks trading for Rajon Rondo. Reason I say that is before the season even began last year, mm-hmm. A lot of people, my Project Spurs staff, not my staff, but on Project Spurs, were, the Mavericks would be very dangerous. And honestly, I kind of agreed. They look like they could make some noise. Now, that's before Mark Cuban blew the crap out of his team. We saw how on opening night, Dallas almost beat the Spurs on ring night. Spurs only won, but I think it was 3 points or 4 points, if I'm not mistaken. That could have been a very dangerous team if Mark Cuban would have left it alone. Now, we all know, traded, I believe it was Jameer Nelson, a lot of those guys.
Jay Crowder just signed an extension with the team. I think it was a first-round draft pick. But Brandon Wright, who we end up turning into another first-round draft pick. So, no, you're absolutely right. That was a terrible trade. And the only reason why I would say it wasn't a terrible trade, Steven, is because I'm probably the only, and if you follow my tweets, you see that I'm probably the only Rajon Rondo apologist still out there. I still believe he can be a very good point guard because he does things that you don't see, that you can't teach. However, having said that, he still has not learned how to shoot. His attitude is a problem, and I'll fully admit right now, those two things are a problem. And at first, I was willing to brush them aside. But now it's evident, clear as day, they're problems. And that's a terrible trade.
Yeah.
It's a great trade. And I will say that nobody mentioned that on our discussion today. But some of the other trades, as we'll run through these real quick, these are just terrible trades. And surprisingly, Garnett and Paul Gasol are not on any of these lists. They probably should be, but they're not. The number one voted trade that was a robbery was the Nets' effort to keep Darren Williams. When they first got Darren Williams and they said, all right, we got to get some players around you, they ended up trading Mehmet Okor, Sean Williams, and a first-round draft pick who ended up being Damian Lillard for John Wallace.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. The next one, this is another good one. I forgot about this one because it's just one of those trades. It's like, the trade itself didn't mean anything, and then once you see the team's pick and what they use it for, you're like, oh, crap. This was the Clippers. When they acquired Mo Williams and Jamario Moon for Baron Davis and an unprotected first-round pick that ended up turning out to be the number one overall pick, Kyrie Irving, that was a pretty bad trade.
Yeah, when you put it like that, I mean, I actually forgot about that, to be honest with you. That's
right.
That brings back memory.
And then the last one that kind of caught my eye was, and at the time, and I think this is the trade that they were trying to get at when the person put the subreddit up. They were trying to get at trades like this, where at hindsight, or I should say at sight, it seemed like a fair, okay trade. And in hindsight, it did not work out well. And it usually involves one player going for a whole bunch of things. And this is when the Sixers ended up trading for Andrew Bynum. You know, at the time, he's 24 years old, he's a center, he's supposed to be one of the best in the league, he's going to compete with Dwight Howard. And what they gave up was Andre Iguodala. They ended up giving up Vucevic. They ended up giving up another first-round draft pick, and Mo Harkless. And that was that three-team trade with Orlando. Four-team trade, actually, because Golden State, I believe, got Andre Iguodala. Oh, no, Denver got him at first, right? And then he went over, yeah. It was a crazy trade. And it's just like, what is happening? That was that. And, I mean, there's so many bad trades. I mean, you can look at anything the Knicks have done. It's considered a bad trade. You know, everyone goes back and look at the James Harden trade. Like, where's Kevin Martin right now? Nobody knows where he is. Nobody can find him.
That might be my number two worst trade. I mean, Dallas God, you know what? I take that back. I actually will make James Harden number one, the trade, and then Dallas number two, because the Thunder were so dangerous at that point. When James mm-hmm. Harden was there, I was like, all right, they're going to win the title. I mean, and they went in Miami, I think it was, 2012 when they went? You know, I was like, all right, they didn't win it this year, but next year they're going to be so dangerous. And then what happens? They trade James Harden. I'm like, all right, well, never mind. That was a bad
Right, move. Right. Now, the only thing I would agree with, before we move on, the only thing I would agree with is Harden choked that postseason. And I believe, and, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, and I might be wrong. I don't remember, you know, a good playoff performance from Harden prior to that. And I don't even think they made the playoffs prior to that. But they, you know, they had that run. He was a sixth man, and, you know, you had Westbrook and Durant. They got embarrassed in the finals, I believe, against the Heat. And it's just, you know, I am Sine Young, and I'm a big believer in the philosophy that you have to lose in order to win. Everyone's done it. Everyone's done it, besides Magic Johnson and Duncan, but everyone's done it outside of those two players. You know, Jordan's lost his early days, and, you know, Bird lost, and, you know, you go around the table. They've all lost. So I'm a big believer in that, and I understand we're talking about 22-year-old kids at this time. But at the same time, like, I can see Hinkie's reasoning. You know, you got three guards, essentially, and you have to pick two out of three. And I don't think he picked the wrong two. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. However, having said that, I think the timing of it was poor. I think the package was poor. And he probably could have got a lot more for an MVP candidate. So I thought that was a fun subreddit. It was just a whole bunch of shitty-ass trades. And it's always fun to look back at that and see who did right and wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you got to love when the trades go wrong. I mean, you don't love it because you want to see the best games possible. But, I mean, there are going to be bad deals every year. It doesn't matter who they are.
I feel like I should get the theme music for Chappelle, When Keeping Real Goes Wrong, and then When Keeping It Trades Go Wrong. Have a little segment for it because there's so many bad ones. But here's a fun stat. We're going to get into some breaking news later on, but I got two more questions for you. This first one is more of a statement, and I just want to take your opinion on it, because when I read this, I had to scratch my head and try to understand it, and I had to do math. And, you know, it's this late at night, just so you know, I have an accounting degree, my background's math. I don't like doing math. I'm good at it. Don't like it, you know? Doesn't mean I have to like it. But there was a stat here that Andre Bargnani recorded 2 steals and 700 in 85 minutes. That is an NBA record. NBA record, not center record, not guard record, not bench player record. NBA record. You know who's in second place? I don't know who it is, but the second place person recorded 2 steals in 562 minutes. That's a difference of 220 minutes, 23 minutes. So Andre Bargnani recorded 2 steals in 16.35 games. Now, to me, that just screams effort. And if you have this guy, why would you want this guy on your team? And when I say 16 games, that's playing 48 minutes. How do you not end up with, like, the score? Like, if Steve, what point in the pickup game? You poked the ball out of someone's hand and I ended up with the ball, they might credit me for a steal by accident. How do you not get more steals than that? And you're not blocking shots, that's for evident. Like, what are you doing? Are your hands in your pockets? There's no pockets in basketball shorts. What are you doing? Keep your hands out.
You know, I mean, I don't know if Andrea Bargnani is even with an NBA team right now. You could probably tell me if he is or not. I honestly don't know. If he's not, I think you found your reason why.
It's one of those things, like, what, like, I don't get it. Like, defense is half effort. I think we all agree with that. It's half of it's effort. Half of it's having a knack, instinct, or desire to be a good defensive player. And I get that most people, like, I mean, we all hear the Mario quotes, and I will hear him as a guy that's the day I die. He had that quote where he's never taught defense, and that's fine. Okay. Do you want to learn it? Clearly, you never wanted to learn it. So don't blame it on your high school coach or you never went to college, but don't blame it on any of your coaches. You've been in the NBA for X amount of years. Learn defense. Just learn it. And it must be so frustrating because you're covering a team that doesn't need to be taught how to play defense. They have guys who get it, understand it, want to dominate it, and I love it. I meant to say this to you. I don't think I said it to you earlier, but I actually have two Kawhi Leonard T-shirts. I'm a big NBA T-shirt collector. I have a T-shirt that I got like 6 years ago that says, Kevin Love Gets Bounds. Just a silly shirt. I have one of my favorite shirts I have is an Oklahoma City shirt, and it's actually the Seattle Sonics logo. I mean, it says Oklahoma City. Confuses people. People look at it like, what? But it's a fun shirt. But I have an old school, and I'll have to text out a pic for you, or tweet out a pic, but I have a pic of a Kawhi Leonard, like, 1980s style T-shirt. And I bought two of them because I loved it so much. I had to buy one fun and just one to keep for later down the years when I bust it out and it's a retro. But going back to defense, like, how do you not play defense? All right. My next question for you is, we've got about a half hour up in the show. I wanted to talk to you about off-season activities. I mean, everybody has something different in the offseason. We all do different things. I want to give the listeners an insight, because we know what the players are doing. If you're an NBA fan, you follow them on Instagram. You follow them on Twitter. You follow them wherever. Wherever you can follow them, you follow them. You know, whether it's swatting little kids at their camps, whether it's dunking on players, whether it's getting shook out of the shoes by a kid who's got handles, whether it's, you know, riding banana boats with LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony, whatever you were doing in the offseason, we know players. But I don't think the fans know what writers do. And kind of just give us a little glimpse of what your son's been up to lately.
Well, I mean, sadly, I don't have the money like the players do to go on yachts every summer. So
what yachts, I do is banana boats, man. You only use banana boats.
What I do is I work. When the Spurs are not in action here, the San Antonio WNBA team is the Stars. They are in action over the summer, so I cover them for our WNBA affiliate, StarsHoops.net. And they're not having too good of a season right now, but, I mean, it is something to do. And I also have I work overseas in the United Kingdom with a website called Reality Box. It's an entertainment website that covers music, you know, TV shows, all the type of stuff, not only in the UK, but also here in the US. So we do both versions of the show. For example, there's a show Celebrity Big Brother in the UK, which the theme this year is UK versus US. So a bunch of US celebrities are going to go over there to in the UK to compete against the UK celebrities, which sounds kind of interesting when you think about it, because the US celebrities have no idea what the hell they're getting into. It's really fun to watch because they don't know what the hell they're doing, but the UK people do. So it's kind of interesting to see how they adapt to their to the culture over there. That's what I do during the summer. And I also cover the San Antonio Rampage, but that's in the fall, in October, whenever they get their hockey season going. So that's basically what I do. I always keep busy, of course, and you got to keep busy, especially whenever there's no NBA, you just got to keep busy.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you really can do, right? Is just keep yourself occupied. I've been playing a lot of golf. This is the first time I play golf, and my new goal is to play golf with Michael Jordan. And I don't know if you saw the video of Michael Jordan recently dancing on the golf course listening to Drake back-to-back. it's a great video if you have not seen it. And my favorite comment of that video was, look at Michael Jordan. He's dead center on the fairway. And that just goes to show you who he is as a person. I mean, I heard he's a really good golfer, by the way. Like, you know, he's almost professional level. And, you know, it's shocking that some of these guys don't go that route. You know, you think they would, but, you know, for whatever reason, he's not. But it's a great video if you've not seen it. So I want to ask you this quick non-NBA related question because I'm sure everybody's dying to know your answer. Are you Team Meek Mill or Team Drake?
Okay, yeah. I mean, this is the burning question I've been waiting to be asked. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know who Meek Mill is. So because of that, I'm going to go Team Drake because I know who Drake is.
Nobody knows who he is. I don't know what song he does.
Oh, my goodness. I do not know who he is. So because of that, by default, I'm going to choose Drake.
Right. I mean, we like Drake. Drake's likable. I mean, my favorite tweet about the whole beef is when it first started was, why is anybody picking on Drake? He ain't bothering nobody. He's sitting at home drinking almond milk. Like, you know, we know who Drake is. Like, we're not going to try to sugarcoat anything, yeah? But, yeah, so it's just, to me, it's very funny, the whole thing. And watching an NBA world get all wrapped up in that is, it's very interesting to see the Leafs. But I think it's time for some headlines. And welcome to Pull Up Podcast Headlines. The first item we have on the slate is Dante Exum tearing his ACL in a friendly game. Just terrible, terrible news. My question to you, Steve, and I'm curious to see how you think on this, because from what I've seen or how I feel on the injury, it's not the end of the world, but what is the impact of Dante Exum's injury for the Utah Jazz's upcoming season?
Well, they're not going to the finals now, are they? No, I'm kidding. Seriously.
They might.
First of all, you never want to see a player get hurt. It doesn't matter if it's off-season, regular season, playoffs. You never want to see anyone get hurt. That sucks. But, I mean, his impact, surprisingly, I'm going off of last season. And he did surprisingly well for them, for the Utah Jazz. If he can keep up that level of, and we know how Utah is, they're going to miss him. I believe they'll miss him only if he can keep up his level of play that we saw last year. And I believe he can't because the guy's young. And he seemed like he was going to a good place with his game. But, yeah, I think he'll be missed. I believe it's actually a pretty big blow for Utah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And for me, it's not so much of what he was going to bring on the court immediately. I mean, he's still young. He's still developing. He's still becoming a player. You know, it's all that good stuff. But for me, what's going to really hurt them is the competition, because now you got a guy who everybody loved. And just so you know, I was not a fan of this kid when he came out. That's Trey Burke. I didn't see it. You know, I thought he was a shooting specialist. I didn't think he was as good as a passer as advertised in college. But now he doesn't have any competition for that spot, does he? So it's his job, unless they can find a replacement. And maybe Utah goes out and makes a trade. But without him, it's going to hurt them. I don't know in terms of wins and losses how many you're going to, you know, sacrifice with his injury, but at least it would make, because I think they're better with Dante Exum over Trey Burke as a starting point guard, because obviously the length and size that he brings. He's kind of like that Sean Livingston, Magic Johnson size. But I just feel like, you know, his ability to want to be good, I get this attitude from Trey Burke that he doesn't want to be that, but at the end of the day, I think it's going to count for maybe 1-3 wins, and maybe advanced stats call me an idiot for saying that. Maybe like, oh, he's actually worth, you know, 7-10 wins. That may be the case, but the team's still going to rely on their star, which is Gordon Hayward. They're still going to rely on the growth of everybody else around them. You know, hopefully Alan Burks can bounce back. You know, Ronnie Hood had a good showing up in the absence of Alex Burke. You know, you still need Derek Favors to step up and continue to grow and become the person who they thought he would be. But to me, it's not going to make or break their season, if that makes any sense.
No, I don't think it'll make or break their season either. But, I mean, you know, I agree. He was a very good piece for them last year. And because he was young, that's what made it so promising. It's kind of like Kawhi Leonard. If he was in his rookie year and he's playing very, very well, and the Spurs have a, you know, they see, hey, this could be good for next year. In offseason, he hurts himself, knock on wood, he doesn't. But, I mean, if that happens, it'll be a big blow for the Spurs as well if that ever happens. So I could see why Utah fans are kind of upset about it.
Right. I mean, he has to be. And the worst part is he got hurt playing an exhibition game overseas. And, you know, that's – and it goes back to the Paul George injury. Like, you can't tell them to not play basketball. You can't baby them into that sense. And it's almost – I mean, how many times is he a freak injury? You can't prevent them. They just come, they go. It is what it is, and, you know, you move on. Nothing else really to say about that. The next piece of news, so we went from some low news to some more low news. But don't worry, guys. I got some good news on the way. Actually, forget it. I'm going to skip this news. We'll come back to it. I want to talk about a little bit of something fun and ask you a question. Well, let me ask you this question first, Steven. Do you play pickup basketball? Like, do you ever play? You play in the league or anything? Like, you know, tell me what your extracurricular basketball life is like.
Oh, and I'm not covering games. I do play. I mean, I don't play in a league, but I do play with some friends whenever the Texas heat is at 135 degrees or whatever it is outside. Hot
well, that's the best
there,
time to play.
Yeah,
all right, so you play with some buddies, you play some pickup ball, because I actually play in the league during fall and the winter, but then summertime, it's best of luck. I mean, if I can find people to play, but most people beaching it, golfing, whatever they're doing, camping, like, we're in Massachusetts, we don't get good weather often, so what we do, we hibernate from the stuff we do, but I do play in leagues, and my question to you is, and I don't think either of us deal with this, but the news came out that Dirk listens to, or at least sung, when he was starting off in the league, whenever he got to the free throw line, the way to block out the noise, the distractions, he would sing the Counting Crows song, Mr. Jones. If you had to sing a song every time you got to the free throw line to distract the 30,000 people watching you play pickup basketball, what song would you listen to or sing, or what would pop in your head?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you hear the story? Oh, no. Is it like a curveball?
No, I did hear the story, yeah. The question caught me off guard, so can I throw that question to you and come back to me? Because I have a song. I'm in between songs right now, unless I can pick two.
Well, listen, the whole point of this podcast is get everybody off guard. That's all we're trying to do. Listen, we're trying to be Kawhi Leonard and confuse you and make you fumble the basketball and not know what to do. That's a good question. And the thing for me is, like, I don't think there is one song that I could constantly sing. It's whatever song I'm into at that moment. Like, you know, like today I've been listening to a lot of Vince Staples. Like, just the past few weeks it's just been Vince Staples. 2 weeks ago it was Dizzy Wright. 2 weeks before that I was Big on the Horse the Band. Like, it constantly changes. So, for Dirk, I just want to talk about the lunacy of Dirk listening to the same song or singing the same song. I need to find out how many years this went on. Was this like 6 years? Because that is such a lame song, Dirk. Like, and I know you're a foreigner, and I know you don't really know the culture of America, but, like, that's a song that you decide to listen to or sing or, you know, put in your head when you're at the freedom line? Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Now, for me, it would have to be, well, first of all, I'll probably give you that. Now, I'll give you that in a second, but I don't know if you remember this. Whenever the Dallas Mavericks went to the finals against the Miami Heat in 2011.
When they won.
It was either 2006 or 2011. Both times they played Miami. I don't remember which year
they
it was.
Yeah, 2006, they won in 11.
Yeah. I don't remember what year this story came out. But it did come out. I don't remember the exact year, but it was one of those 2 years. I remember they were in the finals at the time, where Dirk listened to David Hasselhoff. He would love David Hasselhoff.
Who's actually the number one selling artist in Germany at the time, if I remember correctly.
That's like the worst. I mean, I like David Hasselhoff he's a good actor, but I mean, you know, music-wise, so that's interesting. Now, but for me, I would have to pick, and this is good, I have a really, really good friend of mine who is a photographer for Spurs and the NBA and stuff, and we always joke around before games. When the song comes on, it's called Wobble by VIC. you know that old song, Wobble, and we always start
Wobble,
crying,
Wobble,
oh, yeah.
Wobble, yeah. Everybody knows
that's
that.
The one, yeah. And that would have to be mine because we always joke around whenever we're on the sidelines before games. Like, oh, we're going to dance with that when it comes on. We never do. But, I mean, we always joke around like we're going to do it. And that always reminds me, like, if I'm ever playing a basketball game, I would have to, you know, have that. I'm never going to block it out. That's like my go-to song for anything.
That sounds just silly. Like, I don't think it would work in your free throw shooting. I think it'd probably hurt you if you end up going that route. Just a little advice. If you ever just read the line, don't sing Wobble Wobble. It might not work out.
if you get the rhythm right, it might work.
Yeah, if you do a granny shot, the Rick Barry shot. All right, so let's do one more good news, because I have 3-1 news stories to get to. Two are good, one is bad, so I think we'll get to two good. The good news is, for you Boston Celtics fans out there, that Marcus Smart, although he had a very gruesome injury with his fingers, do not Google it. I promise you, I'm giving you the warning now. This is the first you're hearing about Marcus Smart making his hand look as disgusting as possible. Don't go look for it. However, he's going to resume basketball activities in 2 weeks. So that's good news. I know he had a skip out on the Africa versus the World game. He was pinned to play in that game. He did not, obviously, because his hand was mangled. It was disgusting. I might have threw up in my mouth when I saw it, but he's going to be back in 2 weeks. So let me ask you this question. As an outsider, outsider of the Boston Celtics, that is, what is your, like, ceiling and floor for a guy like Marcus Smart? Do you think he has an all-star potential? Do you just see that his offensive game is so limited that he is what he is as a defensive specialist? He's kind of like the new age Tony Allen, like, What is your take on a guy like Tony Allen? What is your take on a guy like Marcus Smart? Like, what do you see him being?
Well, first of all, I don't know him personally. No, I know of him for two reasons. One, when he was in Oklahoma State. You know where I'm going, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah, but he's, you know, the Texas, I think it was Texas Tech fan that he shoved or whatever. There's that. Two, when he punched Matt Bonner in the, let's just say for radio purposes, lower regions, let's just say that. That's the two main things I remember of him. Now, I've seen his
was
game.
Was it the Marcus Cousins he punched there? Oh, it was Bonner. What did he do to Cousins? Oh, Cousins ended up throwing a punch at him. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I remember Marcus Smart, you know, going at Matt Bonner in that area. And Matt Bonner, I've never seen him react like that. I was like, yeah, something, I didn't know what happened. I was like, all right, well, see the replay. He punched him there. Like, oh, yeah, that'll piss anybody off. No, but I know his game from college. I've seen him a little bit. I don't, obviously, I've not seen him in Boston. But what I've seen in college is he can be, he has an attitude issue. I don't know if he still has it in Boston, but he had one in college. I could see his game having potential if he can get his attitude and his mindset under control. He is a very skilled basketball player. He has some, you know, defensively he could do some work. Let's just say that. I like his game. I really do like his game. He's not a bad player, but he's not one of the best either. All-star, you asked? Not yet. Not for a while.
Now, for me, this is just for me, and this is the same thing I had at Rajon Rondo, and maybe it's going to bite me in my booty. You look at a guy like that, Marcus, let's exclude Rondo. Look at a guy like Marcus, and almost everything that he's gotten in trouble for, all the negatives that get thrown around for a guy like him, they're all basketball-related, and I like that. You know what? I like that. I want more minutes. This isn't I want more shot attempts. This isn't, you know, I have a shitty parking spot in the parking lot. This is, I'm going to win this game, and I don't care if you like me or not. I'm going to do things like, and that's why I referenced the Marcus Cousins, because it's my understanding Cousins didn't like how well, and I say how well because I've watched the highlights many, many times, how well he boxed him out on a rebound. You know, DeMarcus thought he was going for his knees, the legs. Listen, it's just Marcus boxing him out. Sorry, DeMarcus. Marcus boxed you out. This one's so hard to say. Like, DeMarcus. So stay with me here. And it's the same thing Rondo had for a while. So the qualms about Rondo was, you know, he's a bad attitude and this and that. And so I always ask people, like, was he complaining about shot attempts? No, no. Was he complaining about playing time? No, no, no. They were arguing over how to win a basketball game. And that's the character I want. I want a character like that instead of a character who, you know, is tweeting why he's on the bench or, you know, milking an injury or... And that's another reason why I love Rajon Rondo. You know, he played a whole game or half a game with a broken elbow and actually beat the Miami Heat single-handedly. You know, no pun intended, he single-handedly beat the Heat that game in 2012 where he had a broken elbow and no one else on his team did a damn thing. Came back and beat that team that ended up winning the series in five games. But, you know, those are the kind of players that you can't teach that. You really cannot teach that. And I think Marcus Smart has that wherewithal that you know, he's not loud. He doesn't talk a lot of trash. He's almost Kawhi Leonard-esque with that. No, I'm not going to compare him to Kawhi Leonard. Listen, if you offered me Kawhi Leonard for Marcus Smart, I'd take that 30 times in a row. I take it every time you ever offered it. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a franchise-building player. Marcus Smart is not. Having said that, all the downfalls I have of Marcus Smart, and the only one I take out of it, I believe, is the A&M fan where, you know, apparently he said the N-word and, you know, I'm a white person. I don't understand that racial tension. So I can't comment on how he was feeling at the time, but I know he's very passionate about the game of basketball. And if you give me someone like that over somebody who's not passionate, and I always throw this name out, and it's not fair to this guy, if you have a better suggestion, please give it to me so I can stop saying this guy's name. Jeff Green has all the tools in the world, 6'9", athletic as hell. Up here we call him Jeffrey Longstrides because he takes three steps and he's on the other side of the court. Doesn't seem to care about basketball, you know. Just seems to be that he happened to be 6'9", 240 in shape or whatever, 230, whatever he weighs right now, and just happened to be good at basketball. And if you told me, like, oh, Jacob, you're smart in numbers, be an accountant, I'll make you good money. Yeah, I don't really love it, but, hey, I'll do it because it pays the bills. I feel like that's how I see some players in the league. But yet you got a guy like Marcus Smart, who the odds are against him, he grew up poor, and you read his story. But at the same time, he cares more. He wants to win. Whereas you got guys who just happen to be athletic and don't want to win.
Yeah, I can see that. I can really see where you're going with that. And the thing is with him is it he, like I said, to me, you would know more because you live in Boston or you live in that area, I should say, and you probably see more Celtics teams than I do here in Texas, but I mean, and we only get it once a year when they come here, or twice a year if you come when we're over there.
Right.
But I mean, we only see him twice a year. But I mean, with him, like I said, I don't know how his attitude or how his demeanor is on the court. I only know what I've seen in college and the twice a year that they visit or we go or we play each other. But I mean, the guy is a good basketball player. Don't get me wrong. He is. I hope he doesn't follow the same path as Rajon Rondo. Attitude-wise, because we know
right. Look
where Rondo is now, you know.
Well, I think Rondo was spoiled in the sense that he won so early. Like, he had that one bad year, and then year two, he was on a championship title team, and then years, you know, three, four, five, and six, he was contending for a title with really good superstars around him to smack him around. Smart doesn't really have that, but they're different cats, they're different types of people. I don't think Smart will ever be as good as Rajon Rondo was in his peak, and Rajon Rondo was an all-star, multiple all-star. I'd like to see Smart at that, but until his offense comes around to that, I don't see him being that kind of player. That's just my take, but I still think he's a good building block, and he's definitely tradable. I know people up here talk about that, and yes, he's not, no, he's not, whatever. But that's that. Let's go to some bad news. We need some bad news. We had some good times now. We got to bring this podcast back down to earth. Some bad news going on out there. Really, really bad news. So, if you have not been paying attention in the offseason, Marcus Morris is no longer a Phoenix Sun. Having said that, Markieff Morris no longer wants to be a Sun, apparently. And I don't know if you saw this news, but he wants out. He's not talking to anybody in the organization. He's not returning texts. He's not returning calls. I mean, benefit of the doubt, maybe he's just enjoying the offseason. You know, maybe he's drinking girly drinks on the beach with Jalen Rose, you know. But what do you make of this situation? Is this a situation you wanted the Phoenix Suns to trade a twin brother, have his other brother, who's the better brother, be this disgruntled, almost demand a trade. And if you are Markieff Morris, where are you trying to go? Where do you want to go? Like, why do you want to leave Phoenix?
Well, personally, I would leave Phoenix because it's like 195 degrees over there. That's just me. That's just me. No, for real. I think it's not really surprising.
You live in Texas. You can't complain about the heat.
It's true. And really, I have no place to be talking about the heat. That's true. No, but I mean, for me personally, I think with I always get him confused. Which is the one that got traded, Markieff?
Markieff is a good one. He's still there.
Okay.
Marcus is
right.
A bad one. He got traded to Detroit, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
I always get those confused. For me, with Twins,
they look alike.
They do. With Twins, I always get them confused 100% of the time. So with Markieff Morris, first of all, with the Phoenix Suns doing what they did and trading literally almost all their team for LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, to have him not come there was a bad move, you know, from my opinion. I mean, I would say the same thing about any team, even if that was the Spurs. If the Spurs did what the Suns did, I'll probably say the same thing, or anybody. You know, you don't do that. But at the same time, I understand why they did it. You know, you split up the Morris brothers, which in Phoenix, they were pretty good together. I could see why the Markieff is demanding a trade, because he wants to, you know, say bye-bye to Phoenix, and he wants to go be with his brother. I don't know where he would go, to be honest. I have no idea. I mean, there are a lot of places he could go. If it's about the money or about winning a championship, I honestly have no idea where he would go. But I can think of teams who would want him or who need him. But if I'm him, I would not ask to go to the Lakers in New York, because you know how that's going to go.
No, I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's like I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he's like an 18-8 kind of guy, you know, 17-8 kind of guy. Where would he go? I think it depends on the style. And I've been saying this forever. The second he became available, which was a few months ago when, you know, the rumors first started swirling, I said, Danny, you got to get on the phone. Danny is my buddy, you know, Danny Ainge, you know, we talk all the time, but Danny Ainge said, you got to get this guy on your team. This is what you're looking for. This is the kind of style of basketball you play. Go get this guy. But I want to jump back on your comment about, you know, going for goals for LaMarcus. I don't hate the move, and the reason why I don't is because even if they lost, which they did, they didn't get LaMarcus, they still ended up with a better backcourt than they previously had. And let me clarify that. So they started off with Isaiah Thomas, Goran Dragic, and Eric Bledsoe. They end up trading, and this is going to sound crazy. People are going to care me all they want. Go for it. I'm on Twitter. You can find me. I'll debate you all day about this. They ended up moving Goran Dragic, who was going to leave anyways, was not happy, and Isaiah Thomas, who has a great contract, but not really a starter, not really a point guard, for a guy who I really, really liked in Brevin Knight. And to me, Knight and Bledsoe together, Brandon Knight. Brevin Knight's the old Bobcat. Brandon Knight is a guy who was pronounced dead by Twitter and the internet when he got dunked on by DeAndre Jordan. Well, guess what? He did not die. He actually improved every single year to the point where his stats were equal or better than Eric Bledsoe. And here's the kicker. He's younger than Bledsoe. He's also bigger than Bledsoe. So to me, they end up getting the best guard out of those five guards or four guards of this name. Eric Bledsoe, Brendan Knight, Goran Dragic, who's the oldest of them all, and Isaiah Thomas. So Brendan Knight is the tallest, youngest, and best guard out of all those. And they ended up with him and Bledsoe as a nice core. And that is exactly why Phoenix did not trade Eric Bledsoe. And I get it. I understand why they did not trade Bledsoe. That was what they were building. Ryan McDonough, GM over there, knows what he's doing with that team. He has a vision. And they got a really good player who was kind of bounced around. You know, he's in Detroit. After he got dunked on, everyone pronounced him dead. Traded him to Milwaukee. Milwaukee ended up moving him because they had, you know, a younger team in mind, which I don't get it, because I guess If I'm not mistaken, I think Brandon Knight is actually younger than Michael Carter Williams, which is a big mistake. But who am I? I'm not a GM. So I get that trade. I get why they did all those moves. It also freed up cap space, as you mentioned. Gave him an opportunity to get LaMarcus Aldridge, which we all agreed they weren't going to get him, but he's still going to make the effort. You know, when LeBron's a free agent next year, along with Durant and Rajon Rondo and all these guys are going to be free agents next year, you got to at least throw your hat in there. You know, you at least got to throw your max contract out there and hope they say yay, you know? What can you really do? You offer max and you pitch them that, you know, you'll do whatever you can to make them happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting season for Phoenix after what happened. I mean, they were setting themselves up for something good, and obviously it fell through. But I'm interested to see how Phoenix, the backcourt, does for Phoenix. Because, I mean, with Isaiah Thomas there, I mean, they were doing pretty. I liked Isaiah Thomas' game in Phoenix. I really did.
Oh, no, I mean, his game improved when he went to Boston. But having said that, I felt like they had too many guards. And not enough. They had too many guards and not enough minutes to go around. And now they cleared that out and tried to figure out a way to, you know, make it work with just two guards. And we'll see what they do. I mean, they're still rebuilding, clearly, and still working that way. But let's jump to the last news before we get the hell out of here, because it's late for both of us. If you're West Coast, screw you. You know, you're always up late. You get home and NBA's on. Us East Coasters have to go home, have dinner, then NBA's on. And then if there's a good West Coast game, we got to stay up till 2 in the morning and enjoy it. But last news of the day. LeBron James got skinny last year. A lot of PED discussions. I'm not going to bring them up right now, but just, hey, he left Miami, which is a big hub for PEDs and all that good stuff. But my homeboy up in Toronto, point guard Kyle Lowry, not related to Mike Lowry, if you're a Bad Boys fan, but Kyle Lowry, that's a player, formerly Houston Rockets, now Toronto Raptors, lost a lot of weight. Did you end up seeing this photo yet?
I have not seen the photo. I'm actually on Twitter right now, and there's like a 90% chance I'm going to look this up, and I actually am, as I'm talking to you.
Yeah, so look it up. Kyle Lowry, if you look in the photo, I think there's like six other people in the photo with him. If you had a picture, this is one of those photos where I said, if I said to you, pick out the NBA player, you would probably struggle. If I brought it to an average person, pick out the NBA player, pick him up, you would not pick out Kyle Lowry. So,
no.
For him, it's good. I think I felt like he was always kind of bigger, but does that hurt his game?
You know, slimming down always helps. I mean, we saw Tim Duncan slim down, but of course he slimmed down for right reasons and losing weight and help his game. We saw LeBron James do that as well, as you said. We saw Patty Mills do that, and he got faster. I mean, slimming down's not always a bad thing. I do think it'll help his game. You know, the guy clearly has muscles, as we can see in this photo here. So any type of slimming down does help, but you don't want to be too skinny. So he doesn't look too skinny. He does look like he has muscle on him. Oh, he does look like he's about 12 years old. So, I mean, there's a massive difference.
Right, right. It's interesting. But, you know, we got to wrap it up here. I'm going to throw out one more stat for everybody just to digest. We're not going to talk about it. Just take it in. Think about it for a moment. And that stat is, before we let you plug away, that stat is Andrew Wiggins is the only top five draft pick in the 2014 NBA draft to not have a serious injury after the Dante Exum injury. The only player in the top five. So four other top five players had serious injuries, and that's just sad. I just hope that we get better. I hope medicine continues to improve and we don't have to deal with these injuries anymore. But, Steven, you got anything you want to plug? We plugged Project Spurs. Any other side projects you want to discuss real quick before we head out of here?
No, just to, first of all, thank you for having me. And if you want, you can follow me on Twitter at Anderson Steve M. As I said, I do cover the WNBA. And we can find us at starshoops.net for Rampage, rampagecentral.net, and, of course, projectspurs.com.
Project Spurs, the best Spurs website. And it's time that you guys start getting robbed of all your information. I've been fighting the battle with Jeff, my good friend Jeff for years and years and years on this because people just steal your article, change a few words, and post it. It's like, what horse shit is that? Like, come on. Where's the journalist integrity in the world? There isn't any anymore, but Project Spurs is definitely the best website to go for all your Spurs needs because, let's face it, blogs are the new websites. That's what they are. But, Steven, I got to say, you've been unbelievable. I want to say this on air. Usually I say this off the air, but you've been unbelievable. I could tell that you're good in broadcasting and you have a strong career down the road down there. Sometimes I get some guests on this podcast and it's me pulling teeth. You are very articulate and well, and I hope to have you back on as the season continues.
Definitely. I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you very much.
Hey, everybody, have a good night and enjoy your weekend. So I probably won't see you until next week. Take care, everybody. Welcome to the Pull Up Podcast, brought to you by HoopsCritic.com.